just all sarcasm. It's not a light subject. It hits all of us. It affects all of us. And I think everyone here wants to be a better instrument, a better servant of Christ. We want to be more effective, more efficient for Him. I believe the less time we're battling temptation and sin and trying to dig ourselves out of the swamps, the more that we can be victorious over that stuff, I think the more effective we are. Does that make sense? You with me? So what we're going to do today, we're working through the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 4, and it is a huge topic, truly. I probably should have broken it up into multiple topics. I know some of you are like, oh no, we're going to be here forever. I will do the best I can, but it's a huge topic. There's so much there, so much we can learn from this section. And I believe truly we're just scratching the surface. Just a lot there, but we're going to have a word of prayer and we're going to jump into it. Father God, I thank you that you have won the war, that you won, Lord, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. You are victorious. The resurrection, you are victorious. But Lord, you know that we still fight some little battles. We still have battles in our lives, things that we deal with. And Lord, I thank you that you've shown us very clearly how we can be victorious over them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to teach us and grow us and mold us. And Lord, we want to be more effective. We want to be more efficient for you. We want to be clay in the master potter's hands, Lord. We want to run the race for you, to persevere for you, that you would be glorified in our lives and your spirit would pour out of us. Again, I ask you to forgive us for our sins, because we do. And I thank you that the blood of Christ is more than sufficient. Lord, forgive us for our sins. I pray your touch, your anointing on us. And we give you praise and thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked about the baptism. Christ got baptized. As we said before, he didn't need to. He's perfection. But we talked about the baptism of Christ, and we talked quickly about the fact that you can see, it's one of the clearest places in Scripture where you can see all three parts of the Trinity at once together, right? The Father speaking from heaven. Jesus is there, just got baptized, and the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Beautiful scene, powerful scene. And what the Father says to the Son, it's beautiful. We talked about that. I think there's a lot to learn in that section. Then we went on and talked about the genealogy and how Christ fits it right on. He is a perfect match to be the Messiah, and I believe on both lines it fits for him. Through the line of Mary and through the line of Joseph, he qualifies. He is the King of Kings and the Messiah. And that brings us to chapter 4. Listen, Jesus is just about ready to start the greatest ministry to ever touch the face of the earth, right? He was baptized. There was a lot there, right? He was declaring the start of his ministry. He was being obedient to the Father. He was giving approval to John's ministry. There's a lot there with that baptism. But starting this ministry, he's changing the face of the world forever. And the enemy wants to stop that, all right? He wants to do anything he can to stop that. So this is what's going on. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, right? He is God, but remember, he's fully God, fully man. We had just seen in his baptism the Holy Spirit come down upon him. In the Gospel of Luke, you'll see him, he mentions the Holy Spirit pretty often. I mean, we've seen him already talk about the Holy Spirit, right? He also does it in Acts. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's huge. Because the Holy Spirit is God, right? And Luke does a great job of bringing the Holy Spirit out and talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. When you look at he was led by, if you look at the Greek, it's led in the Holy Spirit. It's not just by the Holy Spirit. He's in the Holy Spirit. He is full. It's a full manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's pouring out of him and all over him. And the Holy Spirit's guiding him, leading him, directing him. and leading him out to the desert. I believe he's being led when it says filled by the Holy Spirit and led by, and he's in the Holy Spirit. It's day by day, step by step, minute by minute. He was seeking God and led by the Spirit. Isn't that what we should be doing, being led by the Spirit? Seeking him, seeking his guidance, letting him lead our life. Being a temple of his Holy Spirit. He was led out to the desert. If you notice that Jesus spent a lot of time in his ministry with the Father, there's a huge example here. Don't have time to go through it, but if you look at the way he did, because he's the perfect example of how we should live our life, he spent a lot of time with the Father. He spent a lot of time with the core group so that when he was out with the world, he was ministering to them. Now, he is God, so he always does everything perfectly. And he was always the one teaching and leading. But for us, I believe we should spend a lot of time with the Lord. In quiet time with the Lord. Like he would go off up on the mountains, right? He would go off to be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but quiet time in our society is not often found. And when we have it, we try to fill it. Well, maybe I shouldn't say we. I try to fill it a lot of times, right? Turn on my phone, I'll look at something, I'll watch something, I'll do something. And you know what? I think sometimes we just need to stop. Quiet's okay. Hard sometimes, but okay. And be still and know that he is Lord. Jesus went off to the desert. He was led off to the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. For 40 days. It wasn't just here and there. He was tempted for 40 days. We know about three of the temptations that he faced. I'm thinking if he was tempted for 40 days, there was many more probably. But we know of three. Did you see who was tempting him, by the way? How many places can the devil be in at one time? One. So when you're tempted, could be Satan, but it could be demonic. It could be you and demonic, right? Because there are demons. We all agree with that. That's real. It's biblical. So they tempt. Some of it's us. In fact, let me show you how it goes down. I'm in James chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So if Jesus is God, how is he being tempted? Because at this time, he was completely God and completely man. So what's the enemy working on? The flesh side, right? Nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when, listen, this is how it goes down. This is how we're tempted. I'm in James chapter 1, I'm in verse 14. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, where does it start? Yeah, us, our own evil desire. He is dragged away and enticed. Tempted. Dragged away and enticed. That's tempted, right? The enemy's really good at that. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. That's the order. That's the order it goes down. So, Jesus was tempted for 40 days, but he was tempted by the devil. He was tempted by the master of temptation. This is not a compliment, but he is the best tempter there is. That's what he does. He is a liar. He is sly. He is smooth. I believe that Jesus faced the greatest amount of temptation that ever anybody could ever face. Here in Gethsemane, I mean, he was sweating blood. I don't believe anybody has ever been tempted that the devil has tried to tempt anybody more than he tried to tempt Jesus. Let me say it that way. I don't know that Satan has ever gone after anybody else as hard as he went after Christ. Are you with me? Because he wanted him to fall. If he could get Jesus to fall, we're in trouble. Right? He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Listen, I'm hungry after about 40 minutes. Right? Anybody else? I eat dinner. About 30, 40 minutes later, I'm making popcorn. Yeah. Somebody else with me? Yeah. Yeah. Got a couple of us. Yep. Yeah, this is 40 days. 40 days. He's hungry. The devil said to him, so he's getting tempted by the best. Satan's after him. If you are the Son of God, do you see where he starts? He's sly. You know, when I first read that, my first thing is he trying to put doubt in Christ's mind? I mean, is this a doubt thing? If you. You know, Satan knows that he's the Son of God. That's why he's after him. So Satan already knows this. Jesus knows he's the Son of God. He knows that. He declared it plainly when he was 12. I'm in my Father's house. Right? When he was in the temple. So he knows it. I don't know that it's a doubt thing. Maybe he's just trying to throw that out there. Maybe it's more of, hey, if you're the Son of God, display it. Right? You know what I mean? More of a, well, if you're really the Son of God, show me type attitude, right? He's sly. If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Sounds pretty innocent, doesn't it? Point one, could Jesus make the stones bread? Yeah, he could have done that for the last 40 days if he wanted to. He could even make some extra butter and a little jelly if he wanted to, right? Because he's God. I mean, he could have turned one of them into a pot roast or something. He could do whatever he wanted. It sounds pretty innocent, doesn't it? Turn it into bread. I mean, you're like, what's so wrong with that? There's several things wrong with that. You ready? One, how many times in Scripture, when you're reading through Scripture, do you see Jesus using his power to benefit him? Yeah, he doesn't. He uses it to glorify the Father and help others. But he doesn't use his power to benefit him. It wasn't self-serving. He wasn't out to serve him. He was out to be obedient to the Father and to declare the ministry of God and to help others. So, one, he wasn't being selfish here. Two, he would have been working apart from the Father. How often does Christ work apart from his Father? And he would have been going against the Father. So, the tempter says, hey, you're hungry, turn some stuff in. What's he attacking? He's attacking the physical here. He's attacking the physical nature. Does he attack our physical nature? Absolutely he does. Jesus answered, listen, this is perfection speaking. He is giving us, if you're going to zone out, don't zone out right here. This is how we battle. This is Christ giving us the perfect example how we battle. You ready? For it is written. What does he go back to? Yeah, listen. When you're tempted, if you just are going to go off of your emotion or off of your own reason, this is what will happen a lot of times. You ready? We will justify it. You can write me letters, tell me I'm wrong later, but I'm telling you, if you do it on your own, many times you're going to justify it because your flesh wants it, and you're going to make an excuse of why it's okay. Tell me you don't know people that do it, or you haven't done it. You don't have to raise your hand for that. But we do, don't we? We justify stupid things that we know are wrong because we want it. And you see people do it all the time. Christ says it is written. He's not going off of emotions. He's hungry. He's not going off of feelings. He's not just going off. He's going off of what's right. And he knows what's right because it is written. He said, God said, not I think. Now he is perfection. He's God. So he could have said that and still been right. I can't. It is written. Man does not live on bread alone. Matthew adds the rest of the words to it, if you will. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's not saying that there's not physical needs, but he's saying the spiritual needs are bigger. The spiritual side is more important, if you will. It is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place, the second temptation, to a high place, and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Is that true? Is Satan always honest? Not always honest. He's a liar, but he does have a degree of authority and power. 2 Corinthians, he's called the God of this age. Ephesians, he's called the prince of the power of the air. So he is by far not all powerful. God is all powerful. He's a defeated enemy, and he knows that he's already defeated. But he has some power, and he is a liar. And so he's offering Jesus all the power of the world to be the ruler of it all. So first he hit him physically. Now he's hitting him on things that men, flesh desire, right? Power, fame, authority, wealth, kingdoms would be his. And it's a shortcut. I mean, he's already going to reign. He's God. But he has to do ministry and face a cross the other way. Most grueling, painful way man could come up with to kill somebody that we know of. And he was going to make him face, he was going to have to face a cross. And the enemy's saying, no, no, just worship me. I'll give it all to you. So if you worship me, it'll all be yours. If you just bow down to me, I'll give it all to you. Doesn't he still spread that lie to people? If you do it my way, look what I'll give you. It's so much easier. And people worship all kinds of things. I believe that Satan's okay. He wants praise to be anywhere but where it belongs. He doesn't want people to praise God. He wants them to praise sports and money and their own bodies and their own talents and anything else. False gods, false religions, lies and deceptions. I believe Satan's okay with any of that because it's the eyes off of where that should be. Do people in our culture worship false idols? Absolutely. And I believe Satan's still using that same temptation. Yes, he tempts us with our physical nature sometimes. Sometimes he's tempting us with what he can give us if we go a different route, right? Jesus answered, it is written. Anybody see a theme? It is written. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There is only one who deserves your worship and your praise. And it's not you. There's only one that we bow to and we give our heart to. There's only one who deserves our worship and one that we should be sold out to serve. And it's not self. If you don't mind, I would like to read. You know what? I'll wait. I'll read it in a second. Hang on. So the second one is being tempted to worship anything else but God, to take shortcuts, take an easy way instead of the right way, seeking empty praise of man and the fleeting powers of the world. And that brings us to the third one. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Told you he was sly. Anybody see what he's doing? Jesus, the first two times when he was refuting him, when he was battling with him, he says, it is written. Now Satan says, it's written. Satan's using Scripture. Listen, Satan's misusing Scripture. Satan's misusing Scripture Does that happen today? Absolutely it does. And I've said it and said it and said it, and you're sick and sick and sick of hearing it. But listen, you've got to understand it. You've got to know it, and you've got to keep it in context. Because if it's not in context, you can make it say anything you want. Satan did. You don't think that Satan uses people who use Scripture to misuse it? If Satan's willing to misuse Scripture, would he not use pawns to misuse Scripture? Context, context, context. It has to say what he says, not what you want it to say. So Satan now comes at him with Scripture. Jesus has been refuting him out of Deuteronomy, by the way. Satan here, I believe this is Psalms, piece of Psalms 91. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. By the way, Satan does understand some Scripture, knows Scripture, and he already knows he loses. But he's trying really hard here to get Jesus to fall. Jesus answered, it says. It's written, it is written. Now he says, it says. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now I'll read. It fits both of them. This is from the preacher's outline. It says it better than I do, and I'm going to read it to you. Don't zone. Hang with me. Satan's temptation here at this piece was threefold. I won't read it all to you, but the shortened version is, one, Satan tempted Jesus to choose another way than God's way. He did that at both of these. In both of these temptations, it was actually in all three, it's different than God's way. Satan tempted Jesus to misuse Scripture by twisting it to suit his own purposes. We see that in this one, where Satan's twisting Scripture to get it to say what he wants. And there's a lot more to it, but I'm not going to read it all right now. The third one, I want you to hear this. So the first one, he's tempting him to choose another way than God's way. The second one, he's tempting to misuse Scripture to suit it. To twist it to suit his own purposes. And people do that. The third one. Satan tempted Jesus to give people sensations. A religion of feelings. People do not want a life of self-denial and sacrifice. Of too much discipline and control. They don't want the pick up your cross and follow me. They want the spectacular, something that will be a quick fix, something to stir the emotions and flesh, to stimulate their feelings and give gratification, to meet their needs with less and less effort, to feed their body and soul without cost. That's what they want. But Jesus said, pick up your cross. Jesus' answer was straightforward and decisive. Thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God, the Lord thy God. There's no other way than God's way. God's way alone is to be pursued and followed, and God's word is not to be twisted or stretched, presumed upon, trying to make another way. Men must be taught the truth. And the only way they know the truth is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of his holy word. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he tempted him. I mean, he poured it out. He gave him what he had. Don't miss it. All this tempting, he poured out for 40 days. We see, I believe, the end of it. He left him until an opportune time. In Matthew, Jesus says, away from me, Satan. What do you mean he left him for an opportune time? Jesus is victorious, amen? He just beat him. Does that mean he gets tempted again? Oh, what does that mean for us? Can you be victorious over temptation and be tempted again? Does it happen in anybody else's life? It happened in Jesus' life. Unfortunately, it happens in my life. Yours? Tell you the example. I know I've used it before. I'm going to use it again. I know I'm running out of time. I'm going to use it again quickly. To me, it's it's almost like he fishes. I have nothing against fishing. I like to fish. It's almost like he fishes. If you're fishing one day and they don't bite on that, what do? You change bait, right? If they don't bite on that, you change bait, right? Then you go to dynamite. No, I'm just teasing. That's illegal. You don't do that. No, you keep changing bait, right? Until they start hitting. And if they hit on something for a while and then they stop, you change bait. But then you might go back to the bait they hit on before, right? You know what? What you might be tempted at, I might be like, are you kidding me? But what I'm tempted at, you might be like, that is so stupid. Because we battle in different areas. Satan is good at what he does. Not trying to give him any kudos here or any... But he's good at tempting. That's what he does. He's had a long time to study man. And his goal is to make you fall. So he'll throw stuff at you, and if you won't bite on it, he'll keep changing. And what you start hitting on is what he's going to keep throwing back. And if you stop for a while here, he'll find something else. He'll keep throwing other bait, but he'll come back. So maybe you only have three or four things that you normally struggle with, and there's a bunch of stuff he might not, he'll throw at you sometimes, but he's going to keep throwing the things you struggle with. That's how he works. So listen, the sooner you can kill it, the better off you are. I believe a lot of times with temptation, please help me out here. It's a small enough group. We can have a little Bible study here. Ready? My opinion, I think the sooner you kill the temptation, the better off you are. The longer you leave it dwell and the more you pet it and play with it, the harder it gets. Anybody else agree with that? Kill it quick. Again, I believe Christ has faced, Satan went after him harder than he's went after anybody. Here, Gethsemane. He shows us that temptation can be defeated. That you don't have to fall to temptation. In fact, 1 Corinthians says this. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. That means people have faced this. People have been tempted before. It's common. We all face temptation. And God is faithful, isn't he? Always. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He's saying that you're not going to be able to say when you're tempted, well, I didn't have a choice. Yes, you did. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Listen, we all get tempted. All of us. But God is faithful. He is true. He is trustworthy. And he said, I'll provide a way out. The question is, will you take the way out? Or will you justify the sin because you want the pleasure? It's out your amen. Quickly, I know I got to wrap it up. I told you it was long. I'm almost done. I know that some people are thrilled to know that. I'm almost done. We all battle it. He has given us a way out. He showed us that it can be defeated. I want you to know that Jesus faced it. He was tempted. In Hebrews, it says it like this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He refused to sin for us. He did it for us. Because the one that hurts is us. Because he had to be on the cross sinless to pay our debt perfectly. He did it for us, I believe. So one, he showed us it can be defeated. Two, he knows exactly where you're at. If you're being tempted, I want you to know that he's walked a mile in our shoes. He knows what it's like. He just did it perfectly. I think I said this before. If not, if I did, I'm going to say it again. Is temptation a sin? Is being tempted a sin? The answer is no, like you said earlier. It's not. It can't be a sin because Jesus is sinless and Jesus was tempted. Being tempted isn't a sin. It's what you do with it. Right? So how do we defeat temptation? If the person beside you fell asleep because I've been talking too long, wake them up. Let them hear this point. If you blown me off for the last 20 minutes, which we've been here longer than that, but catch this. How do we overcome temptation? I think you start by submitting to God and resisting the devil. If you look in James chapter 4, 7 and 8, it says this. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. He goes on to say, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So submit yourself to God. That's what you do. You submit yourself to him. You resist the enemy. You don't cave to him. You don't toy with him. You don't hang out and have coffee and sing kind of by-all with him. You resist him. And you draw closer to God. Listen, you get away from Satan and get closer to God. Satan doesn't want to be close to God. You get closer to God. Jesus spent a lot of time with God. What a great idea. If you're battling, listen, if we're just being really transparent, you ready? Really transparent. Here we go. If we're being really transparent and you want that sin and you're tempted to that sin, one of the last places you want to go is running towards God. Because you're trying to justify it in your head how you can do it. But the place you need to be is closer to God. The second scripture is in 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled. Control yourself and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. How do we overcome temptation? By submitting to God and resisting the devil. By knowing the scriptures and using them because there's power there. It's a sword. It's the offense. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. How about you? Use the word. By prayer. Listen, do you remember when Jesus taught us to pray? Do you remember what he said? I know I'm way over time. Do you remember what he said? He said, keep us from temptation and deliver us from evil, or the evil one, right? Keep me from temptation. Keep them from temptation. Keep us from temptation. Do you pray that? So we resist him, we submit to God, we grow closer to God, so we're running towards God, resisting the enemy. We use the word as the baseline. And we pray, Lord, keep me from temptation. Deliver me from evil. Do you pray that? Do you pray that for your children and your spouse? Listen, he's saying, don't keep me away from it. Listen, if you battle with alcohol, going to a pub every day to eat lunch probably is not the greatest thing. Right? If you battle with pornography, being alone with your mobile device all the time probably isn't the best thing. Not having filters probably isn't the best thing. Whatever it is. I mean, if yours is you battle with food, that's one I battle with some. Stopping at Wendy's and McDonald's two or three times a week probably is not good for you. Not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm stepping on my own here, okay? That stuff I'm not supposed to have anymore. I'm hungry. I'm on the road all the time. Driving past 57 Wendy's. At every stupid exit, right? I'm hungry. I'm not saying eating's bad. But I'm not allowed to have that anymore. Rhonda's with me, aren't you, Rhonda? Can't stop there as much as I want to stop there. Can't eat the salt. I want the salt. crazy stuff anyhow. All right. He showed us it can be defeated. He knows where we're at. We need to submit to God, resist the devil. We need to know and use Scripture. We need to be in prayer. We need to be smart. Listen, we need to be more effective, church. We are victorious. He's already won the war. We need to be victorious over the little battles day by day. You with me? He won the war, but we need to fight the battles and be victorious day by day. Because I believe it helps us to live a sweeter life. Sin hurts us. This is to live a sweeter life, a more productive life, to have a stronger ministry and a stronger testimony, right? It's for Him. Do this for Him. He did it for us. Do this for Him. Father God, I thank You for their patience. I thank You for Your love. I thank You that You are the answer to the battles we fight. You're the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, please stand.